All right, got the old intro back and everything. Welcome to Talk Wrestling here on the Jeff Meacham Network. Thank you all for tuning in. Last week, first of all, my goodness, what an overwhelming response to the premiere week of my brand new endeavor. So thrilled of how everything turned out last week. We had multiple listeners and hits on the website and on Spotify and on Google Podcasts now and all the other platforms. So thank you guys so much. It was a real treat to, you know, kind of start my own thing. It's been very, very life-affirming for me to do this on my own. It's very, very cool. Got to thank Aaron and Greg for their appearances last week. Of course, Greg on Wrestling Rewind, which you'll see him again or hear him. You're not going to see anybody. It's audio only, Jeff. You'll hear him Wednesday on Wrestling Rewind, and Aaron and Greg were both on Meech's Roundup. God, it's almost midnight. I'm out of it. Meech's Roundtable, I should say. Talking about January 4th from 21 years ago. God, it's amazing how fast time flies when you're in this crazy business we call professional wrestling. But enough rambling. You guys are here because this is the classic format. This is what put me on the map. This is Ask Meech, hashtag Ask Meech Anything. I put it out there last week as we were getting ready to produce week two of the Jeff Meacham Network, and got quite a bit of responses, mostly from at NoDQ Colin Andrew. Colin, you are my savior today. This is the official Colin Andrew edition of Talk Wrestling, pretty much. We got a lot of questions from a lot of people, though, so I'm going to get to as many as I can get through without losing my voice and getting short-winded because it's been a very long day. As I record this, like I said, it's getting close to turning into Monday, which is when the show is going up at noon Eastern. But I've been up for, you know, a couple of days, except for some little cat naps, watching New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 14. Wow, what an unbelievable weekend of wrestling. I've not yet watched New Year's Dash. I will get to that at some point, probably tomorrow, after I record, after we post one-on-one with Rick Ellis, who will be on one-on-one with Jeff Meacham tomorrow to promote the return of the West Coast Wrestling Company. Stay tuned for that. That's tomorrow at noon Eastern. As far as Wrestle Kingdom, you know, I got a New Japan World subscription 2 years ago because Chris Jericho had debuted with New Japan and was going to fight Kenny Omega. I really wanted to see that, and I kept the subscription for a while, but I realize now why I canceled. I mentioned this on social media. Staying up until 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, watching intense, hard-hitting, you know, knockdown drag out wrestling is exhausting on the viewer's body, let alone the wrestlers. So probably gonna stick to watching it on demand going forward because I'm pooped. So, but congratulations to everybody involved at New Japan Pro Wrestling that competed at Wrestle Kingdom both nights. I would hate to be Impact Wrestling and NXT UK this coming weekend, having to follow one of the biggest opening weekends in wrestling history. My goodness. But you know what? If Tessa Blanchard does indeed come out on top this weekend as the new Impact World Champion, she may just break the freaking internet like New Japan did. So, all right, on to your questions. I'm going to start with Colin, as I mentioned, at NoDQ Colin Andrew. Thank you so much, Colin, for submitting all that you submitted. We'll definitely keep your the ones we don't use in the archive, and we'll use them next week or whenever I do Ask Me Anything again. We'll see how things play out. His first question says, where do you see the Undisputed Era at the end of 2020? For those of you that don't follow NXT, and shame on you if you don't, Colin is referring to Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish. They are the Undisputed Era. They hold all the gold on the black and gold brand of WWE, NXT, of course. Adam Cole is the NXT champion, Roderick Strong is North American champion, and Fish and O'Reilly are the tag team champions. They cleaned house at the NoDQ at the NXT Year End Awards last week on NXT. They took home almost every trophy that you could take home in the male side of the categories. So Where do I see them at the end of this year as we move into the second week of January? I honestly see them continuing their dominance through at least SummerSlam weekend. And then maybe, just maybe, we will finally see what we've been talking about, you know, with the New Day, what we've been talking about with, all the factions over the years of, you know, when are they going to implode? When are they going to break up? Whatever. But I think the Undisputed Era is so ego-driven glory hogging that they are bound to implode. And I think the implosion is coming. They've been together for a couple of years now. They've been through two War Games matches together. They figure that's at least 2 years right there. So I think we're going to see the end by the end of summer. Put it that way. What's next for Cody? Asks Colin. Cody Rhodes, of course. One of the executive vice presidents of All Elite Wrestling, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion, former WWE Superstar, former Ring of Honor Superstar, former Ring of Honor Champion. I don't know with Cody. I mean, it's one of those things where Cody is kind of in a place right now where he's in that pattern with MJF where they're heading toward the pay-per-view and they're going to have their big, in all likelihood, their blow-off match. At the pay-per-view once Cody gets through all the stipulations that Maxwell has put in front of him. But it's, you know, Cody can no longer challenge for the AEW championship thanks to Maxwell's throwing in the towel when Cody competed against Le Champion Chris Jericho at the last pay-per-view. So I don't know what we're going to see out of Cody. I would love to see him, you know, maybe he and Dustin go for the World Tag Team titles. I think that'd be a great series of matchups when you figure the Bucks are in the Tag Team hunt and the Lucha Brothers are in the Tag Team hunt and SCU, of course, our boys, Sky and Kaz, are the World Tag Team champions. There's so much good in so much of AEW right now that it doesn't seem like there's any really ceiling on how far they can fly, especially the tag team division. The tag team division is extraordinary in AEW, and I would love to see Cody hook up with Dustin and take one more run as the Brotherhood. I think that'd be great to see. I think that would be good for both of them, especially for Dustin, because Dustin, you know, yes, he's, you know, into the, you know, producer role, he's settling in, but he's also still a great athlete and a tremendous worker, so why not let him do what he can do for as long as he can do it, right? There you go. Speaking of Cody, who do you see as the NWA World Heavyweight Champion this coming year? Says Colin Andrew. Of course, Nick Aldis is the national treasure. He is atop the mountain. He is the dealer, the holder of the legendary 10 pounds of gold as of this moment. But he's got Tim Storm crawling up his rear end right now. But he formed this I forgot the name of their frickin' stable, and I'm a horrible, horrible podcaster for doing this, so let me just kill time here a little bit. Strictly Business. Jeez, couldn't even think of it. Isn't that awful? That's just awful. With Isaacs and Latimer and Camille, they have the beef with Tim Storm right now, but as we saw it Into the Fire last month, Marty Scurll is right there, you know, lurking in the shadows. So, you know, will we see Marty and Nick headline another pay-per-view? Will we see Tim Storm, you know, get his block lifted? Will he challenge for the gold again? You know, the poster for Hard Times features Tim and Nick and Camille. Of course, the main hook for Hard Times coming up on January 24th is the crowning of the brand new NWA World Television Champions. So, you know, that has a, you know, the World Championship almost, you know, it's always in the mix. It is the World Championship. It is the measuring stick. It is the business. And, you know, people will tell me, well, WWE has more of a more of a global presence, and that's wonderful. But without the NWA, there is no WWE. And, you know, if you go back and look at history, that is the way it is. So I think the NWA Championship is still a very, very prominent world championship, and it will always be a featured attraction. But, you know, Hard Times, you know, is going to focus on the crowning of the World Television Champion at the end of this tournament. So I would like to see, you know, a solid tournament take place and a solid tournament end at the pay-per-view on January 24th in a couple of weeks. And yes, I will be previewing that on this show. I don't know when, because I think that's also Royal Rumble weekend. So I'll have to wait and see if I can fit in the schedule, probably on an off day, a Tuesday or a Thursday, but we will get to that. I personally would like to see Marty Scurll win the NWA World Championship. That's what I would like to see, Colin. I think he deserved to be Ring of Honor champion. It didn't happen. And you know, not having Nick lose at the Crockett Cup made sense, because that was the first, you know, real benchmark event after NWA 70. So, you know, Nick had to retain there. I think if Nick faces Marty again, we saw the fear of God in Nick's eyes at the end of Into the Fire when Marty came strolling down those steps. So I don't think that Nick is ready for Marty round two. So that's just my own personal take on that. The next question, I think I didn't. Was I done with Colin's first page? I was not. Ha ha. Colin's last question for today. Colin, you got like 4 or 5 pages of questions, so don't worry. You'll be a featured attraction in this particular day of the week on the Jeff Meacham Network. Colin asks, will the European Championship make its way to NXT UK this year? I am honestly a bit confused when I hear this question. I hear this question quite frequently, not just from the NXT team, from After Match Wrestling, not just from people in my circle of friends, not just from the people that follow me that don't follow No DQ necessarily. I don't see the need, honestly, to reinstate the European Championship. And the reason I say that is because the WWE... yes, they, you know, run a show here and there in other parts of Europe, but they have an established brand in the United Kingdom. NXT UK is the established brand. It's not NXT Europe. It's NXT UK. What I would suggest, I know it, you know, costs money and, you know, and whatever to redesign things, but there's also money potential in the selling of the new belt, is to redesign the WWE United Kingdom Championship into the NXT United Kingdom Championship and make it officially an NXT property. That way you're not, you know, using a WWE UK branding name on a solely NXT product. You know, it's the same thing with the Cruiserweight Championship. The Cruiserweight Championship is now, for all intents and purposes, exclusive to the NXT brand. It's also on 205 Live, but they've renamed it the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. And it's got the big W in the middle of it, and it's still purple. If it's going to be an NXT championship, it should be black and gold like the other championships of NXT. And it should be called the NXT Championship, Cruiserweight Championship, you know, in not only in name, but in design and in display, too. So that's where I think they should go. There is no need. Trust me, they got more than enough friggin' titles on all these brands. The last thing they need to do with a one-hour TV show each week and a 2 to 2.5 hour pay-per-view once every quarter is to add another championship to have to try to book. It'll just completely clusterfuck it even further. Excuse me. I had to add a flag there because I said the F word. Trying to be good. All right, on to Demon Ninja, the anime fans, at the anime fans on Twitter. Did NXT save the WWE in the 2010s, with some fans like me thinking it was the worst decade? Oh, my goodness. Another question that, you know, this one I can kind of pass a little bit more, and only because a lot of you guys were not even alive in the early 1990s, like before 1997. You know, 1997 was, you know, 23 years ago. A lot of you guys are 22, 21, 20, 19, et cetera. You guys are still young, and God, I feel so old when I say that, I got kids half my age listening to me rant and rave and moan and groan every week, but it's the truth. It is. You guys are super duper young, and you don't remember just how bad the early 90s were. And I even go back to the late 80s, because other than a few rare exceptions, Steamboat and Flair and, you know, Perfect and early Bret Hart and early Shawn Michaels, you know, the latter 2 years of the 80s and the first 6 years of the 90s were just the drizzling shits. Just awful. It was just bad, and the creative was bad, and the gimmicks were horrible, and WCW was trying so hard to keep up with the WWF gimmick grade that they were out trying to out-gimmick them and creating worse gimmicks in the process. You know, the legendary story of Jim Herd trying to turn Ric Flair into Spartacus, cutting his hair and putting an earring in his ear and, you know, making him wear a gladiator outfit, and, you know, the entire booking committee going, "What the hell is wrong with you, Herd?" You know, stuff like that. There is a reason that people call the advent of Extreme Championship Wrestling a revolution. Because in 1993, when Paul Heyman took the book after Eddie Gilbert and Todd Gordon had their falling out, Paul E. saw then how much the business had fallen on its rear end and how bad the business needed a shot in the arm and a kick in the pants to go, okay, both companies, the World Wrestling Federation and WCW, are both presenting, you know, Saturday morning cartoons for all intents and purposes. My show is on at 2 a.m. on a random Saturday morning or a Sunday night or whatever the case may be. I can get extreme. I can get edgy. I can present, you know, what we know now as TV-14 ratings. I don't even have the TV ratings back then, but, you know, I can present an edgier, more adult-oriented content product. And, and see where that goes. And out of this little nugget in the creative mind of the mad scientist Paul Heyman grew this extreme revolution, you know. And they had people like Todd Gordon, you know, who had the funds to, you know, make it happen. People like Shane Douglas to carry the torch as the world, as the heavyweight champion, and, you know, really be just a foul-mouthed, cocky piece of crap, you know. And he backed it up because he was one of the best athletes in the company. You know, I urge you guys, if you can find the uncensored versions, go out and find, you know, a Shane Douglas entrance with Francine with him. Just the presentation of him walking out there, cock of a walk, belt around the waist, Francine looking as only Francine can look, because gosh darn was she hot, you know, and very scantily clad, might I add. Shane would walk in, you know, "Cut the effing music," you know, and people would just eat it up, and they would boo him because they hated him as a heel, but they respected Shane because of how awesome he was. So, you know, just stuff like that is what made both companies, more so the World Wrestling Federation, you know, but also WCW, you know, really take notice and go, well, hey, you know, he's doing something here that's really getting attention and really garnering a following. Maybe we need to change our thinking. You know, so the 2010s, yes, there was a lot of bad in the 2010s, but I honestly did not dislike the 2010s near as much as when I go back and look at the stuff that I first started watching. When I first started watching, the big hook for me was the debut of Ted DiBiase's mystery tag team partner on his Survivor Series team at the 1990 Survivor Series. Granted, the greatest gimmick of all time in The Undertaker, but, you know, when you go back and watch the old episodes of Superstars and Wrestling Challenge and WCW Pro and WCW Saturday Night and all that stuff. It's just barbaric what we put ourselves through as kids back then. It's no wonder my mother can't stand the business. It's just hot garbage. It's terrible. All right, an old friend from the past, at Mr. Yuck, or Mr. or M-R-U-K-K. I forget how you say it. Help me out here, brother. Welcome back. Again, yes, I am back, and I'm back full-time this time. I'm on my own terms, damn it, and I am just looking forward to the future. Do you think WWE will do a storyline feud between the MMA horsewomen and the WWE horsewomen factions? Should either team have a manager or mouthpiece leading them? Ooh, I like this question. And I love that you put hashtag PAIV. It's the wrong hashtag, brother. Hashtag ask Meech anything. I will never answer in video unless I go back on their DQ, which I will from time to time. They haven't got rid of me yet. I am like the fungus that grows on the side of your house. You will never get rid of me on their DQ. But for now, I am audio. So there you go. As far as your questions, sir, it all depends on Ronda. It depends on if we ever see Ronda Rousey in a WWE ring again. If Ronda Rousey decides to return after she is satisfied with her process of creating a family, and more power to her, it is the greatest thing in the world to have a family, and I applaud her for reassessing her priorities and realizing where she was in her life. That's amazing. However, I do miss her on TV. Yes, she kind of, you know, fizzled out at the end, leading into WrestleMania last year. But you know what? I still think she came a long way in a very short amount of time. And her and Becky and Charlotte were worthy of that end of the night spot. So I think it's really awesome that they gave it to her and the other two girls. I think it's really cool. So as far as the storyline, if they bring Ronda back, then yes, I would definitely. Well, the other thing to consider is this. Jessamyn Duke and Marina Shafir, I don't know if The Office thinks they are Raw or SmackDown ready. And I know I've been saying for the better part of a year how NXT is an equal brand and how they, you know, they deserve equal recognition as a third brand with Raw and SmackDown. And I do believe that, but there are still some talents in the NXT brand on the NXT show that, you know, could use a little more, you know, a little more seasoning. And, you know, I've liked what I've seen from Marina and Jessamyn as a fan. I just don't know if the Raw or SmackDown audience is ready for them yet. They're definitely ready for Shayna. Shayna's ready. Shayna was ready. Shayna's been ready. So I think now that the title is on Rhea Ripley, I think Shayna's quote-unquote call-up is imminent. And maybe with Shayna going up, maybe Ronda will get the edge and come back, and we'll see the two of them start beating the crap out of Charlotte and Becky on Raw. And maybe that seed will be planted, so maybe by the time we get to Survivor Series, we have a 4-on-4 elimination match. Something to think about. Deontay Rose, at DSmooth210, will we see more women's development in AEW, and should they try to sign Tessa Blanchard at all costs? Should the WWE have fewer pay-per-views and more storytelling on the main roster? Okay, so we got about five questions there. Will we see more women's development in AEW? Yes. And it needs to happen. As nobody will sit there and try to argue that I've been one of the more diligent supporters of women's wrestling in the last 12 years on the online, in the internet wrestling community and on social media. But the women's division of AEW is lacking. There's not enough quality TV time there. They're not given enough chance to really showcase what they all can do, because those girls can go. Every single one of those ladies that AEW has signed has serious, serious chops. Excuse me. A little Crystal Light energy. They've all got amazing talent, you know, inside of them, and they're not being used right. So they need to develop it for sure. Should AEW try to sign Tessa? Tessa doesn't want to go anywhere. She's, for all intents and purposes, she's about to be the world's champion at Impact. I've been saying that, you know, since she first started feuding with Sammy, that it was a matter of time before she made the history that they wouldn't allow Joni to make 20 years ago, which I still, it sucks. It's just a shame that she wasn't allowed that opportunity. But Tessa's going to be the one. Tessa's going to be the one to be the first world's champion, female world's champion of a major global wrestling company. And if they don't pull the trigger at the next show, at the pay-per-view, then the Impact booking committee team needs to be fired on the spot. They need to be run out of town, never to be seen again, if they don't pull the trigger right here, right now. Should the WWE have fewer pay-per-views? Yes. I've been saying that on every show I've ever appeared on at one point or another, or every show that's had my name attached to it. At some point in the history of those shows, I have mentioned this. The WWE would be better served if they had months to build toward a pay-per-view. Rumble to Mania to, let's say, Money in the Bank to SummerSlam to Survivor Series to Rumble. And on the months you don't have a pay-per-view, NXT TakeOver, NXT UK TakeOver. It's not hard to plug 12 months. If you insist on having one pay-per-view a month, fine. But don't make it all main roster pay-per-views the entire 12 months. Spread the world. And again, I say main roster like NXT is not the third brand. I'm so conditioned by the WWE. It's an awful brainwashing, but it's the way we've been trained. You know, figure, you know, okay, January, Royal Rumble. February, NXT TakeOver. March, UK TakeOver. April, WrestleMania. May, NXT TakeOver. June, NXT UK, June, Money in the Bank. July, the other TakeOver. You get what I'm saying. There's enough marketing and enough pay-per-views to go around the four brands if you got UK. It's not rocket science, guys. Split the branding up, split the pay-per-views up amongst all four brands, and you've got enough to go around, and you're not overexposing the Raw and SmackDown talent to the point where we're sick of seeing them, to the point where we're salivating over the return of John Morrison and Sheamus and the Usos Friday night. And I love all four of those guys. I've met all four of those guys. They're wonderful people. John Morrison was on After the Bell with me, with Melina. And I adore those guys. But we're salivating for people because the people that have been on TV the last 4, 5, 6 years, it's like, oh my God, we see him twice a week and once a month on pay-per-views. I'm over it already. It's not hard. It's not hard to fix the problem. It's a solvable problem. Should they have more storytelling in the main roster? They should have better storytelling. I think they could have done a lot better things with this Lana, Lashley, Rusev, Liv thing that developed on Raw than how they finally pulled the execution on it. But it's not just that story. There's a lot of stories that they could refine and reimagine or redesign. There's a lot of, and again, this is Monday morning quarterbacking by me here. I'm sitting here in my easy chair in my pajamas at 11:40 at night going, well, WWE should do this, let me do that. It's not what I think. It's all it is an opinion. It's just one man's opinion. It's my show. I can say what I want within reason. But, you know, as a fan of, you know, it'll be 30 years in October that I've been watching this crazy stuff. I know what I like. And I have not liked Raw and SmackDown for a long time. I haven't had the desire to watch Raw or SmackDown in a long time. When I was informed we were losing our Sling account, didn't bother me. Because, you know, the whole reason that Sling was integrated into my lineup was because I wanted to be able to watch Raw and SmackDown on East Coast time to get to bed at an early hour. So I could, you know, get Dylan going for school the next day and be in bed and try to get, you know, try to be healthier and have better sleeping habits. But, you know, I don't even need to watch Raw or SmackDown. And if I do watch them, I can watch them on Hulu the next day. I can watch half of Raw and be caught up enough, thanks to Hulu. God bless Hulu. But I don't have that innate desire to watch Raw or SmackDown. I do want to watch NXT. I do want to watch NXT UK. And I was pissed at myself for having missed, you know, 2 months of it. That's why I stayed up all night after Wrestle Kingdom last night, binge-watching it. Saturday night. Binge-watching it. Because I wanted to get caught up. I'm still not caught up. I'm still not done. I have to watch NWA Power. That is the one show I have to see every week. And if I miss it at 6:05, it bugs the crap out of me. I hate it. I've not watched Impact. I've been a very bad fan. I tried to watch it. And it's just, I just get called away on Tuesday nights. And I can't, you know, I keep trying to make the time. And I don't have a DVR. So it's a bitch to pull off. But I'm doing my best. I'm trying. But WWE could definitely afford to do better. Not more, just better storytelling. Let's see here. Let me just see if I want to ask one more question. Here we go. At Mark Lee Griffith 2, his name is Mark Lee Griffith. He's part of the NXT team as well on Aftermatch Wrestling. So, Mark, thank you for your question. We're going to end with this tonight. Or today, I should say, because it's going up at 9 o'clock tomorrow, Monday morning for you guys listening on Anchor and Google and Spotify and everywhere else. Will CM Punk return in the ring in 2020 or remain on WWE backstage? My personal prediction is that CM Punk will not return to the ring. As much as we all want him to return, as much as our mouths are salivating with the idea of CM Punk versus fill in the blank here in 2020, CM Punk left because he was worn out, because he'd been injured, and he was not cared for. And from what all the reports are saying, he is not an employee of World Wrestling Entertainment. He is an employee of Fox, and he wishes to remain that way. And I don't blame him for a minute. You know, yes, I was angry at him, like I was angry at The Rock for being away when he was away. But you know what? You know, when you get to be a grown-up in your mind and stop, you know, being childish and petty about childish and petty stuff, you realize that these guys stay away for a reason. The Rock stayed away because he was becoming the most successful star in Hollywood and making billions of dollars, to the point where I can't walk on the Sunset Strip anymore without seeing billboards on both sides of the same street corner with him on it. CM Punk left the WWE 6 years ago because he wasn't being cared for physically. He was mentally burnt out, and his creative input was not being appreciated. I don't blame him a minute for leaving at all. And having been a grump ass about it the last 6 years was stupid on my part and petty on my part. And the fact that, you know, I had to have my dad give me a kick in the head about how good a person CM Punk is, because without any, you know, provocation or without any, you know, monetary gain, my dad ran into him at the NHL All-Star Game, whatever that was, 3 years ago now. It'll be 3 years this year. because he's a Blackhawks fan. He's a fan of the NHL. He's a hockey fan like me. He signed the back of my dad's business card. My dad knew who he was and knew I would appreciate the gift. And I was just amazed that of how my dad said how just genuinely nice and humble and honestly, you know, rather soft-spoken he was. For a guy that made his name as a braggart, you know, boisterous promo cutter, the dude's chill. We all need to realize that he still loves wrestling. He still loves the business enough to want to be involved, even if it is as an analyst on a Fox studio show, and just let him be. My goodness. You know, it's just ridiculous that we can't just let him, you know, let him be who he is and let him do his own thing. All right. Well, that's kind of a down note. Let me get the room back up. Thank you all for listening today. Tomorrow, on the premiere of One-on-One with Jeff Meacham, we will have my favorite client I ever managed in the brief time I was on the independent circuit here in Southern California. He's been away from the ring for a good many years. He recently came back at the end of last year. In a match against his old tag team partner, who he actually is teaming with this coming Saturday at the West Coast Wrestling Company event in Wildomar, California. He is a certifiable badass. He is one half of the Arrogant Bastards. He is Rick Ellis. He'll be on the show tomorrow, One-on-One with Jeff Meacham. Wednesday's Wrestling Rewind will feature Greg Cherry and I watching and commenting along with the best Royal Rumble match of all time. Of course, I'm referring to the 1992. We will see the Nature Boy do things that only the Nature Boy can do in a 60-minute span. And no, I'm not talking about the bedroom, kids. It's a family-friendly show, after all. And then on Friday, Meech's Roundtable will feature a preview of the upcoming NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2. Colin will be on that show, the man who asked the multitude of questions to start the show today. He will be on that preview with me. And I am seeking one more name to join the cast of characters on Friday's show. So if you would like to join Colin and I in previewing NXT UK TakeOver, please hit me up on Twitter at @_JeffMeacham. You can also find me on Facebook Messenger. You know where to find me if you're on Facebook, if you're on the team already. If not, don't worry about it. Just find me on Twitter. And thank you guys for listening to the show today and all of last week. Also, kind of an important announcement that I made on social media, but I will get to it really quick here. A dear, dear friend of mine who I will keep anonymous for now until we get the the products produced, is designing brand new logos for all the shows you listen to on the Jeff Meacham Network, except for Talk Wrestling. This show has a great logo that Paul Seacrest designed many years ago. We're keeping that intact, and we're gonna go forward with that. But every logo will be on a shirt and a hat. And that'll be available on our Teespring store that I have launched as of the weekend. The Talk Wrestling shirt is on sale. The link will be in the description here on Talk Wrestling as this show goes live at noon Eastern Monday. And that store will be open from now on. And as the shirts, as the logos get produced and I'm able to create the t-shirts and the hats, we'll start banging them out for you. And I will be in Vegas in February, end of February, and my birthday March 1st for my birthday celebration. And I'm looking to get out there and maybe get some photo shoots done with the various merchandise that I'm going to have on sale for the website. So stay tuned for all of that. And we will see you guys tomorrow on One-on-One on the Jeff Meacham Network.